And good morning, KRFY listeners. Thanks for tuning in to the morning show today, Wednesday, June 25th, 2025. And it is the last Wednesday of June for this year. I'm Susie Prez, along with co-host Chris Bessler. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Susie. How are you doing?
I'm fine. It's looks like a beautiful day out, so it's always helpful to see the sunshine. And we have a really cute visitor in here today, and some other gals. And so today we'll be talking with Better Together Animal Alliance Executive Director Mandy Evans and new public relations storytelling extraordinaire person Dig Krismer. Good morning, Dig.
Good morning, Susie. How are you?
I'm fine. And good morning, Mandy.
Good morning.
It's always fun. And what else?
Yeah. Dig, who do you have with you?
So I'm holding a little kitten here whose name is Fancy Feast. And he is how old, Mandy?
Oh, I don't know. He's a baby kitten. He's available for adoption today.
He is so stinking cute.
Listeners are going to have to visualize here, but maybe we'll get a meow or two out of him.
He is as beautiful as a lump of coal with sweet little eyes. He is adorable. Mm-hmm. Super, super adorable.
Pretty mellow for a kitten right now.
Right.
Yeah, we brought him because he is really an engaging kitty. Like, he comes to the front of his kennel. He's like, please give me love. And so we thought that maybe a little excursion for him would be a good idea.
Yeah, it's good for the animals to get out of the shelter, right?
And absolutely, and especially with kittens.
Socialize.
Like, the more we get the kittens around new people, the more resilience they build. Mm-hmm. So those kittens that you're like, oh my God, my cat is just like a dog. That's how you create that. Mm-hmm. And so we're...
with lots of exposure to people.
Yeah.
So we're going to get into all kinds of stuff at our amazing... it's kind of like the East Bonner County Library. We have a great library. We have a great center of caring for the animals in our community called Better Together Animal Alliance. So we're going to get lots of stuff going on over there.
That's also happening on Saturday. Yeah.
Exactly. Okay.
So anybody that needs to get their... what kind of vaccines?
It's your general for dogs and cats, so, and then plus rabies. But it's in Post Falls from 10 to 1. First come, first serve, and we have enough to do about 300 animals. So be prepared if you drive out, get there early, and then you may have to wait a few hours before you see a vet.
Well, I tell you what, let's just roll right into our interview now. Again, we are speaking with the Better Together Animal Alliance Executive Director Mandy Evans, and the brand new, kind of pre-new even, hasn't even quite started, Storytelling and Public Relations Manager at Dig Krismer. And Dig, we want to talk a bit about your role, this new position you're stepping in, and the role you're stepping out of, since a lot of folks will know you as previously as the regional, at Fernovia, regional what?
Engagement Manager.
Engagement Manager for Fernovia. But I have to follow up that comment on the clinic in Post Falls. Why Post Falls?
Oh, that's a great question. So for years, we have been the partner shelter for the Post Falls Municipal Shelter. So we hold grant funds for them. We order their vaccines, their kennel cleaner. We work with them on what best practices are. We write grants so they can come to conferences with us. So most municipals will have some sort of nonprofit arm that supports them. And so this is our way of being helpful to them. And they asked us to come out. The community there is fantastic. It is a really gratifying thing to be a part of because people are so thankful for the support. And most of the animals we see have never been to a vet before.
Hmm. Wow.
That brings up a question. I probably know the answer, sort of, but you definitely know the answer. Why is it important to vaccinate your pets?
Oh, goodness. It is very important to vaccinate your pets. We'll just use Parvo as an example. Parvo lives in the ground. So if you have a puppy and your puppy isn't fully vaccinated, had all of its vaccines, should not touch the ground in any public setting.
Parvo is a disease.
Yes,
or a Parvo. Pathogen or something.
Yeah, contagious disease for dogs. Similar for cats would be distemper. That's not right. Distemper is dogs. It would be panleukopenia for cats. And so, you know, these are... contagious diseases. Even if your dog never leaves your yard, we know people that have puppies that, or even adult dogs, never been vaccinated, moved to a new house, and they lose all of their dogs to parvo because parvo was there previously, and they're introducing them to a new area. So,
it sounds like it's pretty deadly, too.
Oh, yeah. It's a very important to get your pets vaccinated.
For those reasons. But there's other reasons, too. I think what I've heard is the pet is healthier, and you reduce your vet bills that way.
Well, I mean, if you
Makes
get
sense.
A contagious disease, that's
going to
be
expensive.
Very expensive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's part of the consideration of for people to get a pet. Is the vet bills can be very high, but if you vaccinate, you can help with that.
Yeah, I mean,
that.
It's the same as humans, right? Preventative care. So if we're practicing good preventative care, we aren't going to the doctor as much as other people. And it may seem like a savings for you right off the bat, but really in the long run, it's best to get it done. And at Better Together, we are really trying to make that as accessible as possible. So we just did a vaccine clinic last winter in the Bonner Mall, not mall,
no,
Bonner
the fairgrounds. Yeah, November.
Oh my gosh, we had so many animals come. Like we had people pulling wagons of like 30 kittens. We had 20 hound puppies show up. So we're here and we want to support people. If your dog or cat comes in as a stray to our facility, it will be vaccinated within 15 minutes. Mm-hmm. No questions asked, even if the day before it had been vaccinated. Mm-hmm. We don't know that, so it gets vaccinated right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was at that event last year, and everybody kept – it wasn't primarily about doing vaccinations, but everybody kept coming in. Some people were bringing like 3 or 4 dogs. It was
and the line all the way through the fairground. I was like, oh my gosh.
It was impressive. It just shows the need and that people really are looking for a good way to vaccinate their pets. I mean, that was what was most striking to me is like the range of folks that took advantage of this service was pretty fantastic.
Yeah.
And that's making it accessible to all community. It was great. It was great. It was really good.
Mm-hmm. Do you have another vaccine clinic? I'm assuming it's fairly affordable when you have these clinics, or is it free?
They're free.
And do you have another one planned?
We don't have another one planned after this one, but
in
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure we will again in Bonner County. The other thing, too, is we offer free microchips at these clinics, but you can call us and we will microchip your animal for free.
And, of course, folks up here can take a little drive down to Post Falls.
Absolutely.
But just first come, first serve, so get there early. Yeah.
And it is a very popular event. So.
And where is it happening in Post Falls?
At the Post Falls Police Department.
And the hours again?
It starts at 10 and it ends at 1.
Okay. So if you need some help getting your animals vaccinated, make note of that.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's tell you what, there's a lot of stuff going on at the shelter, the BTAA, but let's talk first about the new person that's coming on board. Again, that's Dig Krismer. Dig?
Sorry, I'm really distracted by the kitten right now.
You do have a kitten on your lap.
I do have the most adorable kitten. Yeah. And I'm not really a cat person, but that might change.
He's very quiet.
Look at his pretty green eyes. He's adorable. Do you want to say a few words? No?
No.
Okay.
He was talking a little bit when you first brought him in. But
he's pretty amazing.
Like many people on air, he got shy.
That's right.
Yeah. Cat got your tongue?
So, Dig, your role is going to be chief storyteller and the new public relations manager.
Well, I want to caveat that. The BTAA had a wonderful marketing and PR storytelling person for 4 years. Mm-hmm. Andrea was there. And Andrea really did a phenomenal job of helping this organization kind of take it to the next level. There are not a lot of animal welfare organizations who have that kind of a role to really tell the stories and make sure the community is aware of the work that's being done. So Andrea really did a phenomenal job. And so I just huge kudos to her. And I'm really very honored to step in after her. She's left a wonderful legacy. I hope I can live up to it.
Let's assume that maybe somebody listening doesn't know who you are already.
Oh, God.
You've been pretty prominent in the community, first at Schweitzer, then with Inovia. Why don't you tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I have been very lucky. I landed in Sandpoint sight unseen. I didn't know where I was moving to in 2011.
How does that come to pass?
Well, I had saw a job
listing.
Arrived at night
in the dark.
I arrived at night in the dark. I was living overseas and didn't know where we were moving to. And had gotten a job at Schweitzer, which is a little bit of a miracle at the time. Anyway, and worked at the Mountain for 10 years, which was great. And then had the opportunity to go work for the Community Foundation, Inovia, for the last 3 years. God bless you. And that was wonderful, getting to meet a lot of different individuals in the community who are really dedicated to making these places we live thrive and, you know, pull their resources to be more generous and have larger impact, which was great. But in the last, you know, little bit, I really miss the storytelling piece. Working on the mountain, it was always about snow and skiers and snowboarders. And, you know, I'm kind of excited because I'm hoping that find ways to tell stories of cats and dogs in a different way, which is really super fun for me. And again, I really am impressed with what's been happening at BTAA over the years. Mandy's done an amazing job. And it isn't just a shelter. And it really, you have a community of volunteers. You have a community of people who visit the thrift store. You have a community of people who are family alumni. You know, they have had multiple dogs and cats that came from there. So being able to engage with that, to me, locally, is just super exciting.
I think the word that you kept saying over a couple times was community. And community is something that really shores up our area and gives us context for each other. A few minutes ago, you said a little phrase. You said, "Cat's got your tongue."
Yeah,
that could be the name of your program.
Oh my gosh, that's an idea. Yeah, but no. So hopefully it'll be. I don't know. I'm looking at Mandy, hoping she's excited.
I think having the forum that you're looking for with the storytelling part could partner here very easily with KRFY.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Out there as a thought right now on the air.
That's a great idea.
You're a trained broadcaster here.
I am a trained broadcaster, yet to use that skill. But I mean, but it's true. We during Live Give 7B, we did the post, and it was like, well, here I am out on these trails that were done by one organization. Here's the dog that I adopted from BTAA. You know, like the amount of alumni dogs in the community. I don't know if alumni is the right word, but you know, everyone has been connected to BTAA in some capacity, which is incredible. So
rescue dogs is how they call them sometimes, but it's usually rescue in reverse because they rescue their
who
owners
saved
from,
who? Yeah.
So tell us about your pet history.
Oh my gosh. Let's see. Started when I was a child with a cat named Tiffany, who liked to bite me. Maybe that was why I wasn't sure I was a cat person. Then we had a dachshund. He was a tweener wiener because his mom was a standard size and his father was a miniature. So my dad called him the tweener wiener. His name was Klein. He once ate the entire turkey carcass after Thanksgiving dinner and didn't move from under the table for 3 days. That was pretty hilarious. Then fast forward, I spent a time as a dog sled musher in Wyoming and southern Idaho, which was amazing. And really,
so that is like, what, 10 dogs?
I had a team of 8 that I worked with primarily, and then on bigger tours I had a team of 10. And that was super fun. And then since then I've had a motley array of little animals come through my life. Currently we have 3 dogs. I have 2 Chihuahua ladies who are 11 years old, Tinker, who's shaped like a small tank, and Cinder, she's just absorbed every anxiety piece of our life is in her little body. And then Odin, who is a 4-year-old rescue puppy that, he's 4, but he came from the shelter as well. So
what kind of,
he's an awesome, he's an Australian Shepherd lab mix who, as soon as I pick up my mountain bike, he starts to cry. And if I don't take him with me, it's pretty aggressive.
Does he stay close when you're
he's
riding?
Amazing. Yeah. He really is amazing. He does stay right with me. Here, you got to go to your new mama. There, go see Susie.
We're having a kitty cat handoff here.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, but Odin's an alum. That was, you got the puppies to my partner and
this.
I.
Yep.
So tell us, what is storytelling in public relations entail? What's your position going to do day to day?
So I think from what I've been onboarding with, I'm going to work very closely with Paige with the development side of things in terms of making sure that people in the community and people who support BTAA know what their generosity is going to and how it really does make a difference. And not just for the animals. I mean, the priority is to find homes for the cats and dogs that come in, but it's also to make sure that people understand the human side of this. One thing I'm always impressed with is that cats and dogs don't discriminate. They love you for who you are. They don't care what color you are. They don't care where you go to church. They don't care what you do for a living. They just want to be with you. And so making sure that that bond is nurtured and held together, hence the name Better Together, is really important. So I'm going to get the opportunity to tell those stories. And in just like the 3 days that I've been in the building, it's amazing. There's always something going on, be it in the medical clinic or, you know, a family that came in to adopt or that litter of puppies that was just in last week, you know, that they're trying to find homes for. And there's just a really wonderful energy in the space. And I'm just super excited to help. Mm. Tell that. I don't know. My boss, what do you think?
I think it's funny watching Dig participated in her first team meeting last week. And it was so funny watching her face because she's like, oh, my gosh. Oh, my God. That is such a good story. Oh, my gosh. We do that, too. Oh, my gosh. So, like, that energy and enthusiasm is pretty exciting. Mm-hmm. And we're looking forward to it. One of the things that will be on her plate is that I'm sure people recognize that when you do the work every day, you kind of forget that not everybody knows about the work. So her job will be to chase down people and say, are there stories right now? And, right. You know, tell me what about that story. Did you get a picture so that we're able to share the impact with the community?
Mm-hmm. So I imagine, and I don't know if this is accurate, but we have certain groups or institutions in our community that kind of cross the lines of division that we have, right? Mm-hmm. Because people in our community, whether they're conservative or liberal or grouchy or kind or whatever, they connect with animals. And it seems to me that the Better Together Animal Alliance, the role that you serve in the community, is with all walks of the whole community.
Yeah.
And is there a storyteller, new chief storyteller, is there an opportunity there to kind of help people find common ground through this shared interest?
I totally think so. I mean, because again, you know, this is what strikes me always, is that people will do anything for their pets. They will do anything for their buddy, their pal, their emotional support animal, their couch friend. And again, that's what's incredible, because it really doesn't matter. They don't care who you voted for. They just care that they get to be with you. And that's, I don't know, I think that's one of the things I'm most excited about, you know, through the work with the foundation, was realizing that I think people share more in common than they don't. We just get so sidetracked. And the love and care of cats and dogs in our community, I think, is something that people can really kind of definitely get behind, you know. It's so simple, but right?
It allows you to see the humanity in people.
Yeah,
like, it's one of my favorite parts of the job. It's, I have family that are in different states that are definitely more liberal leaning. And I find it really interesting listening to them talk about people who are different than them. And I think, oh my gosh, like, my neighbor is different. This is different than me. And when you do this work, you get to see this wonderful humanity, that people are really all the same and they all want the same things. And politics just muddies the water on how we get to those things.
Yeah. Common ground.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have more in common than we have apart, but we lose sight of that because we get fixated on the political thing that's going on.
I think about children too, what they learn from loving an animal. It's hard not to love an animal that you care for and they need you. And you both have children that have probably had pets, and it really brings something to the family also. Yes.
Well,
a shared pet.
Ironically, in this story, I'll try and keep it brief, but ironically, so I found out about the opportunity with these guys while I was moving my daughter to England, and my daughter has an 8-pound mini dachshund named Toaster. And so it was this big dilemma of, you know, she's moving to England, does the dog go with her? And you can't fly the dog in cabin because of England and this, that, and the other thing. So we ended up finding a way to fly. I spent 8 hours in France to transport the dog to the UK. But the bottom line, and in the meantime, I'm also talking to Mandy about, you know, possibly coming to work for BTAA. So I'm having these, like, you know, parallel moments. But the key part to it is that he is her companion, and he provides that constant and that connection that, as her mom, I'm like, I'm going to get emotional about it. But she doesn't know anybody where she just moved to. But she's been taking him to the field to go walk the dog. And she's now met all the other people who are walking their dogs in the community. So now she knows, you know, a handful of people. She may not know their names, but she knows their dogs. And she's, like, getting to connect with humans thanks to her dog. And that, to me, was worth every crazy penny of flying to Paris for 8 hours, then
getting toaster,
yeah, to the UK. But that's the connection. And I think that's what we see. And in the 3 days that I've been there, and then in my experience with the dogs, that's what you get. And that's amazing. It's absolutely amazing.
Okay, that's the thing. Actually, you bringing that up is funny, because we talk about certain things based on what's happening. And when we were trying to do the dog park, you know, or even having dogs in parks, like, that was a huge aspect of what we were sharing, that people having a companion actually really significantly reduces depression and social isolation. It helps seniors. So any shelters that really, I mean, I hate to say it, but discriminate towards the elderly because you're too old to have a pet is just a bunch of baloney. The impact it has on the health benefits. There is an entire organization that has started nationally just to do studies on the human-animal bond. It's the Human-Animal Bond Institute.
It's the bond.
Yeah.
I haven't lately been watching people and their dogs because I think, oh, that's a lot of work. Because I walk in the park and there's the dogs, and or the dog is not like what I would consider very attractive, like a bulldog or something. I know, but these people love their dog, and their animal, and it's that connection that you're talking about, the human connection to an animal, which is so unique. That's where you're,
and that's the stories. Those are the stories, and because it's people in our community, it's, you know. Everybody, it's really, really cool. It's really cool. I'm going to have a plethora of topics. I'm very
yes,
excited.
You will.
Yeah.
One more question about your role before we move on, because there's a lot of other stuff to talk about
Please,
here.
Yes.
But I have to assume that also a big part of your role is going to be, you know, helping secure donors and funding for the shelter, because the shelter lives on that.
Yeah, I, you know, Paige does a phenomenal job, and Mandy can speak to that better than I can. And Paige is an amazing asset to the organization. But it is important when you're working in a community, if people don't know what you do and they don't understand the role and they don't understand the complexities of what you might be doing in serving your mission, then donors aren't going to know that they want to support you. So the way I'm approaching my role is that through the social media posts or videos or, you know, Instagram stories, is to continue to help people understand exactly what is going on there. The organization is very transparent and very open about how BTA serves the community, serves the animals, serves the humans that live here. And my goal is to help tell that story so that when a donor comes in and says, okay, I want to support you. Where is this? What does this look like? We have stories to tell immediately and can share. And you know, it's an investment. When you donate to something, it's an investment, right? You want to make sure that you're getting an ROI, which sounds terrible, but it's true. So if you can show happy people connecting or medical services being provided, or I love the Mary Poppins van. I would love to see that come back again. You know, like all of those things, that's where the storytelling is really important. So that's what I'm going to do. I hope.
Connectivity.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm just really grateful that Mandy and Paige want me to do that. Well, so I'm really excited.
Well, welcome on board.
Thank you.
As a community member here, just speaking out. So let's talk about a few other things. And one of the things that kind of caught my eye when I was looking to bring you guys in here is that the BTAA was recently got an honor called the Community Cup Award. It's from the Humane World for Animals. Tell us what that's about and what is the Humane World for Animals?
So Humane World for Animals is a rebranding of the Humane Society of the United States. So we were just in Las Vegas at a conference, And we participate, we're one of the few shelters that is a Pets for Life shelter. So we are able to go into the community and provide resources to community members to help support their pets.
And that's like providing food for folks that may be having trouble doing that. Yeah.
Or nail trims or, you know, troubleshooting issues. But ideally, it's to get spay and neuter, access to spay and neuter. So anybody that's in our PFL communities will receive free spay and neuter from us. So we attend this event, and all of a sudden, they talk about this organization that has dedicated themselves to, you know, improving access to care and blah, blah, blah. And they said, Better Together Animal Alliance. And I'm like, what? Go on stage and receive this award. It's very cool to be acknowledged for the work and to be able to know that, you know, we're seen by national organizations. In fact, the ASPCA will be with us today and tomorrow. So us being a small, it's hard to explain and I can't stress it enough. And I'm only saying it because I'm very proud. There was a case that was confidential, but they needed shelters to help with sending people to assist on it. And we were one of three shelters that were asked in a totally different state. And the two other shelters are huge. They're huge shelters. And I thought, God, how do we get to a place where we are considered at the same level as these giant, really, like, I'm talking $30 million plus shelters. Mm-hmm. And we are considered in the same realm as them. Mm-hmm. Just so cool. Yeah. We're in North Idaho.
In a town of 10,000.
Yeah.
Doing great work.
We are. We're doing really, really great work.
Well, that's pretty cool. So the Humane Society rebranded. When did that happen?
They announced it in April. Hmm. Yeah.
Do you know why they decided to? So they're, just to repeat that, they're now the Humane World for Animals. Yeah, which is so kind of a mouthful.
Well, I know. And the other thing is, I mean, if we're going to pick on them, the color they chose. Oh, yay.
What color did they choose?
It's like the Forest Service, that deep, like, forest brown? Green and brown are their colors. So Humane Society of the United States also has a world division. So I think they were trying to blend both of them together so that they didn't have two different brands for their international work and their state work.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Rebranding's fun.
Everybody loves it.
It only takes 10 or 15 years for the new brand.
And then it's time to change.
And when we rebranded, somehow everybody thought that we were purchased by a corporate entity or any of that.
Yeah, because it was the Panhandle Animal Shelter, and you renamed about 5 years ago?
In 2020.
2020,
perfect timing.
And you have nothing else to do.
Yes. Yeah. So, I mean, we are a nonprofit organization. No one owns us. The money we get is provided back into the community. There is no corporate entity. We are still your local organization.
Independent, kind of like KRFY.
Exactly.
Independent and commercial free. Mm-hmm. This is, by the way, we are listening to The Morning Show with Chris and Susie. Yes. And this is KRFY Community Radio. We're speaking with new public relations manager and storytelling extraordinaire Dig Krismer and executive director Mandy Evans from the Better Animal Together Animal Alliance. And we also have a really cute kitten in the studio. So that's always fun.
Well, we want to talk about that too. But so while we're on the subject of awards, you got a recent acknowledgement from Best Friends for being a no-kill shelter. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so I'm the president of the Idaho State Animal Welfare Coalition. And what the coalition was trying to do, and I guess is still trying to do, is to convert our state to a no-kill state. I'm very proud of this. Basically, from Kootenai County, Bonner, and Boundary County, we are considered no-kill counties in Idaho. There are other counties in the South that are struggling. So what this means is that 90% of the animals entering into the shelter leave alive. Our rate is much higher than that, but that is the criteria. So Post Falls also received this acknowledgement. And they, I've told them, you should put that everywhere because people believe them to be a kill shelter. And they have not been since we've been working with them for years. And they put in so much effort to not euthanize. So I'm, excited to have that acknowledgement.
Is the Post Falls shelter a you know, services Coeur d'Alene?
No, just Post Falls.
Coeur d'Alene has something else.
Yeah, there's a lot of municipalities in that area because there's Kootenai County, Coeur d'Alene, Hayden, like lots of, state police.
Okay, so we do have a kitten here in the studio.
Did you want to say
just being totally chill. We wanted to hear at least one little meow from him, but he hasn't offered us that yet.
Shall I try? Let's see.
And he's on Dig's lap right now. But this is a cat that you're looking to find somebody to foster. Is that right? Tell us what's going on with the kitten in the fostering situation.
Yeah, so this is a fancy feast, and Fancy Feast just exited.
Fancy
feast, as in
feast.
The cat food?
Fancy Feast.
Fancy Feast,
So keep in mind that we get a lot of kittens, and we have to come up with new names for all of them. And duplicating names means we have to say Fred 1, Fred 2, Fred 3. So we come up with odd names. And so Fancy Feast is a very, very sweet kitten and is looking for his home. Our lobby hours open at noon to 4:30, Monday through Saturday. And then why I wanted to bring him is because we are in desperate need of foster homes for kittens in particular. We will get like 800 kittens from April to October, and most of those kittens come to us and they're not fully vaccinated. And the importance of having vaccinated animals in our facility is because we have a ton of animals in our facility. And if there is any opportunity that a contagion has come in, we want to make sure that the animals are all vaccinated so that they can fight that. Well, kittens just aren't. They're not old enough to get all of their vaccines. So we need to put them in foster care. And then when they're ready
get them out of the big population.
Exactly. Yeah. Let's put them in a small home, and then they can come back to the shelter, get spayed and neutered, and be put up for adoption. So I want to dispel myths about fostering. So fostering is not necessarily a multi-week commitment. We literally need fosters that can maybe hold on to cats and kittens for a night, for a day, for 2 days, for 3 days. We sometimes, like we have one right now that just needs to gain a little bit of weight, and then we can get it scheduled. We are lucky that we have surgery 5 days a week now, most weeks. And that means that you're not having to hold the kitten for a whole week while you wait to get on the schedule for the next week. So if you, I mean, even if you've never thought of it and you're like, well, maybe I want to try it, please give us a call. We really, really need the help. If we don't receive the help, then we have to utilize a cat wait list because we literally just cannot bring all of these cats into our building. I think right now we have 76 kittens in foster.
Oh, my God.
Now, once they hit the adoption floor, they're moving really quickly. Mm-hmm. But so we might, I mean, it's literally at the point where if we do not have more fosters, we are going to have a cat wait list. Mm-hmm. So if
you won't be able to take a cat if somebody comes in with it.
Exactly. You know? Like if people call us, we'll have to say, I'm sorry, but I can't take your cat for another week. I joke, but I don't want it to sound shaming, but I think that people, you know how you underestimate the complexity of almost everything, right? You just see, oh, I get my breads delivered, but you don't know all the process. So I joke that people think that our care center is like Harry Potter world, where we just open portals and put cats and dogs in all these random places. But we have a capacity, just like a hotel has a capacity. And when we exceed that capacity, we put our animals in danger. And our number one priority is to keep the animals in our care happy and healthy. And that requires that we deny intake, have a wait list, and use foster homes.
And I have a feeling that your facility there makes it pretty easy for someone to foster. You probably give them food and all the things and instructions and make it super easy. So how does that work?
Yes.
If somebody does call and say, I could foster someone, a cat.
So when you give us a call, and the number's 208 265-7297, extension 100. When you call, you'll be put on a list. And then if we, and we ask what your comfort level is, because we get neonates too. They need to be bottle fed.
Oh, wow.
So, you know, depending on your skill level and your comfort level, and then we call you when we have a litter.
And so Little Fancy Feast right here is looking for a
He's looking for a home, right?
He's looking for a home. Yeah.
He's ready to be adopted.
Yeah. He's moved beyond.
Okay. How many of cats do you have right now for adoption?
The last I looked, I think we had like 23, but every day we have surgery, so every day we get new ones in. So I don't know what the actual population will be today.
You know, check online. There's the adoptable animals, and there's the opportunity to kind of scroll through and see what cats and dogs are available for adoption. And then there's also a link to the home-to-home page as well.
Yes.
So.
And the kittens, sometimes, especially in the peak of kitten season, we don't put pictures on because there's no point.
Many.
There's so many. And then, so it's best to just come in and peruse the lobby, fall in love.
I can vouch for this little guy. So he's this beautiful shade of black, and he's got these gorgeous, like, green, not quite piercing green, but like a soft sea green.
Lee, I'm talking about your eyeballs there.
And he just fell asleep.
Look at you.
Yeah, he's very chill.
He's super chill. He's a really cool cat.
And black cats and black dogs tend to be adopted slower, which I have to say is interesting because they have a calmer temperament than other animals.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. There is something to do with the, like, the melatonin levels that create a calmer cat. So,
so if someone wanted to adopt Fancy, for short, what would it entail?
So you just come by the care center at noon. You can go meet Fancy if you want. Otherwise, you go to the front desk and say, I would like to adopt. We adopt you right then. There is no paper application. There's no big
cost.
Hubbub. The cost, I think, is, I'm not going to remember right, I think 30, 25 to 30.
Minimal is what I'm
hearing. Yeah, it is very minimal. We try to make it as easy as possible to adopt. Which is what I'm speaking about at Cornell.
Okay, well, let's swing to that right now. So you're going to Ithaca, New York, I presume.
I am.
If you're speaking at Cornell, and what's that about?
So I was invited to come speak at Cornell University during their, they have a really amazing shelter veterinarian program, or shelter veterinary medicine program. So I was invited to come speak on open adoptions and also on return to owner. So, I mean, you guys will appreciate this because this is what we've been talking about is just the primary message in both topics is being nice to people, trusting your community, allowing them to adopt. A lot of organizations make it really difficult to adopt from them, whether that's you can't adopt same day, they want landlord information, they call, they want to check if you have insurance, like just some really crazy things, and then we're upset that animals are euthanized in shelters, but they're putting these not necessary barriers in front of them. And that also goes with when they have animals that are, let's say that they have an eye infection. Well, adopters, you can still put that animal up for adoption because it will get better faster in a home than it would in a shelter. So you just trust the adopter and you give them medication. Like if they owned that pet and they went to the vet's not going to care for it in-house. Mm-hmm. So you provide the medication and get that pet into a home. So that's what I'm speaking on. And then people being friendly to people when their pet goes missing and they come to pick it up, then the normal process was that you shame them. How dare you lose your animal? It's $150 to pick your animal up. Can't afford it? We're keeping your animal. And trying to show shelters that it's actually, you already have, this pet already has a home. Why would you keep it in the shelter longer? And then there was a study that was done, and it was like 75% of the animals that never went back to a home, the owner ended up getting a new animal within like a year.
Same thing.
And what happens is that you're just bringing more population of animals into your community that's not necessary if you just gave the animal back.
So how do you ensure that the owner's going to take good care of the animal?
So if we put a lot of emphasis on that, then we're going to keep animals in our care. Mm-hmm. So the way we look at it is that the best thing we can do is trust that the person in front of us is making the right decision. We let them know that if they run into hard times, please contact us. We're happy to help you. If you figure out that this is not a good match, bring the animal back to us. We're here to support you. If the animal requires special care, so it has a medical condition, then we are going to be very specific about which owner can take that pet home because we know it requires special care. But everybody knows that when they adopt from us, we're here to support them with no shame. And it's actually been really successful. Mm-hmm. Ooh, we have a kitten
how did the invitation to Cornell come about?
Through our relationship with the ASPCA.
Okay.
Yeah.
I would say congratulations for that.
Thank
you. It's kind of an honor. How many years have you been doing this, Mandy?
14 and a half.
Amazing. I remember when you started. Wow. And you've really
Mandy's like, so do I.
Yeah. You've really curated an attitude and a paradigm for looking at how we integrate and work together as a community to be good partners for these beautiful animals.
Thank you.
That need that.
Thank
you. So good job.
Thank you.
So here's my theory. These big organizations like Humane World or Cornell, I think you are kind of exotic for them because
Mandy's exotic.
You're exotic.
I like this. Okay.
It's this little shelter from northern Idaho that nobody's ever heard of. It's like, how do you make that happen? So that in these big municipalities, right, or these big organizations, they're used to organizations that are numbering in the many millions, maybe. I think they're saying, how's she doing it with a little tiny...
Well, it's so obvious the emphasis on the human connection, mm-hmm. like the emphasis on the person, you know, the relationship that people have with their pets and being very real with people and not shaming is so key because sometimes people do get into a situation where they are financially not capable of taking care of their pets and the last thing that they want to do is rehome or surrender, and that's just heartbreaking. And so understanding that you know, sometimes people have extenuating circumstances that make it really complicated and they want to do right by their pets and by their families, being able to lean into BTAA is huge, you know.
And people will do a lot to avoid what they believe will be shame.
Yeah.
So if they believe that coming to a shelter, they will be shamed for it, they will let the animal go. They will do everything in their power to avoid even the potential or the idea of shame. So the more that we can remove that barrier and it's really community word of mouth that, and we have a whole list of words we don't say and like all this stuff that creates a culture of understanding.
And I think about another subject is when children are brought up in a home that have pets and they work and it becomes part of the family, mm-hmm. they probably have more empathy and compassion and are just move forward as different kind of human beings. There's your next study, right?
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Esther?
So you also have a new program called Petcademy. Tell us about that, and that's to help people that might be having trouble caring for their animals.
Yeah, so Petcademy is a separate company that we are partnered with, and we offer Petcademy support through our home-to-home program and now at BTAA. And essentially, it is kind of utilizing AI. So if you are adopting from us, you are going to receive a text message that says, how's it going? What do you need help with? And then people type in what their questions are, and there's automatic responses. And then we get to see what the common questions are so that we can be addressing those maybe ahead of time. And then if you're having some challenges where you're like, I can't train my dog and is doing this, or my cat has litter box issues, you can call us and we can add you to the Petcademy list so that you can receive this kind of passive support, but support all the same. And then you can also call our helpline. Especially, we do offer help with dog training. We can help try to problem solve litter box issues. There's just a number of things. And what we want people to do is to recognize that if you're like on the verge of, you know, not can't stand your pet. I think of it as like, I can't stand my husband. Ah,
only
like,
if we'd had that when their kids were babies, like newborns.
Yeah.
Like,
ah, help me. Yeah, help. So if you're on the verge where you're just constantly going back and forth on, should I keep this animal? Is it the right thing for the animal? Really encouraging you to call us early. Owner surrenders, you have to make an appointment, and it's 2 weeks out from the time that you need it, so that you can post on Home to Home for 2 weeks. And then, so you're better to come to us early and let us try to assist you in solving some of these problems. Like, my puppy would eat my jeans at night when I was asleep. And so I got a crate, and now, and she loved her crate. Mm-hmm. So there's just solutions that, because we do this for a living, we might be able to brainstorm and come up with that you're not aware of.
It's counseling.
Exactly.
Or you could just get your jeans off the floor where the puppy can't get
them. Oh, my God, Chris. I'm feeling shame.
Don't do that.
Just a suggestion. Okay. My little helpline offer there.
I know. I need to call the helpline because my one dog has been on a diet for 5 years, and she's still, like, just a sausage roll. And I haven't been doing it right. So,
so while we're talking about pet care, I'm seeing more about pet insurance out there. So what's your take on pet insurance?
I think that we're one of the only countries in the world that hasn't caught on to pet insurance. In Europe,
it's like health insurance, right?
Yeah. It's extremely popular. And I think that people notice that the cost of veterinary medicine is increasing. There's a veterinary shortage. And whenever you have a shortage of anything, the cost for it goes up.
Supply and demand.
Right. Yeah. So right now, like, to the price for a salary for a veterinarian is very high, and that's going to translate into the costs of care. And the care advancements that have happened are extraordinary, but these clinics now have higher overhead. We're seeing higher costs. I'm telling everybody, that's not going to change. Mm. So the best thing that you can do is get pet insurance. Mm-hmm. So you can come by the shelter. We use and offer MetLife. It's because we offer it through Home to Home. So we have a relationship with them. But I would highly, highly, highly recommend you look into pet insurance. It's anywhere from like $30, $35 a month per pet, but it will save you. It covers your basic needs. And then with extraordinary care, all of them are different. Like Trupanion won't do your vaccines in your routine care, but it's there for any emergency or big things. And they pay the vet directly, so you're not having to pay anything. But it's very, very important. We get a ton of calls that are referred from our local veterinarians asking us to pay people's medical bills. Mm-hmm. I can't afford to pay everybody's medical bills.
No.
And so we are now offering low-cost spay and neuter in-house. So we have a vet that is there usually 5 days a week. And you can go on to our website, bettertogetheranimalalliance.org, go to programs, veterinary services, and you will see our schedule. And you can click and make an appointment to have your spay and neuter done in our facility. Mm-hmm. But really, really encouraging people to decide to get pet insurance.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think one of the things for me to hesitance was the cost of vet bills if your pet needs that. Mm-hmm. And this is an option and a solution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You mentioned Home to Home a couple of times. We should probably explain what that is. That's a program that you engineered to help people rehome their animal, their pet, if they for some reason need to give it up without it ever getting into the shelter in the first place.
Yes. And I like to point out that I came up with the idea, but really Chris and his team engineered the actual first website, which was back in 2015. Can't believe it's been 10 years.
It's amazing.
And so Home to Home is very popular, I think, in our community, that if you need to rehome your pet, we provide you with the option to create a profile. We're going to help promote your pet for you so that anybody that's in the community looking to adopt will contact you directly through our secure website, and you would meet up with them and do an exchange of ownership without that pet ever coming into the shelter. We really battle this idea at the shelter that we want people to know that when they're in our care, that they're well cared for. But we really believe no animal should ever enter the shelter unless it absolutely has to. So looking at the shelter as the best option to bring your pet if you can't keep it anymore is really a false idea, because the stress and behavior in a shelter, they just did a study and it is the most stressful thing that a pet will go through. So if we can help people find a new home for their pet without ever entering the shelter, that's the ideal. And now we're in all of North America and 170 shelters, helping shelters help their community.
Yeah, that's a big deal. So we are almost out of time. Is there anything else that you want to let your listening public know about here?
We did a really good job going through like all this. Well, Home to Home was just featured on Humane World. In Humane World magazine.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, and talking about being an anomaly in animal welfare, creating a national program as an animal shelter is definitely unique.
Yeah, very much so. Well, I don't know. I'm looking at Mandy to make sure I'm not overstepping, but I know also if anyone's interested in volunteering, there are volunteer opportunities at Better Together Animal Alliance. And
absolutely.
You know, there's the thrift store, there's animal care, there's fostering, as we already talked about, but there's ways to get involved that you don't, it can be a big or as little commitment as you need it to be. Mm-hmm. But if you're looking for a way to get involved in community and you're not sure where to start and you'd rather talk to dogs and cats than people, we've got the place for you.
I'm gonna reprimand Dig. We don't want people coming to us that don't like people. Our work is a people business.
They may not want to talk to them. They may like people,
like,
but
people.
They just are shy. Or
people
they want to talk
are
to
animals too.
Yeah,
that's
yeah, we are
right.
So,
yeah. And also, we have an abundance of animals available for adoption right now. You can walk through the back kennels to see the dogs. We have a senior. It looks like a little Shiba Inu, super cute. That's looking for adoption. It's probably 20 pounds or under. And then we have another dog that literally just looks like a tiny little mop that's a wire hair terrier. And then we have this litter of puppies that we have had up for adoption for like 2 weeks. They are they're black, lavish mix, and we really, really need to find them home. So if you're considering adopting, now is the right time. Oh, and then we also have the Empty the Shelters event, which is coming up, and that means that any adult adoption will be fee waived, and that, I believe, starts on the 7th of
July.
July 5th through the 19th. You can come to us and for an adult dog or cat adoption, and it will not cost you a penny. And you can take that money. Well, you can always make a donation to us. You can take that money and purchase pet insurance with it.
Okay, right. Well, we are out of time. Dig Krismer and Mandy Evans from Better Together Animal Alliance. We heard a lot of information. This interview will be on our website as a podcast later in the day. And we thank you for being with us today. This is very fun. And little kitten Fancy. Oh, you're so cute.
He is so sweet.
Fancy Feast.